Tomorrow all the things were gone. I'd worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land.
Hey, Lee Greenwood singing that song. And what better day, right, than today? Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with my buddy, Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us today, Monday, September the 11th, as we honor those who died on 9/11, 22 years ago today. It does seem to me like those years have flown by. We got a lot going on in the show. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Weifang Zong of the Mercatus Center about the recently ended G20 summit over in India. Did it accomplish anything? Joe Biden was over there. And was China's absence from the summit, was that a major factor? We're going to talk about that with Weifang Zong in just a few minutes. Speaking of Biden, he does a rambling news conference in Vietnam over the weekend, again feeding concerns about his cognitive abilities. We're going to look into that as well. And speaking about rambling, Vice President Kamala Harris dishes up another word salad when questioned about abortion limits. We're going to tell you what that was all about. And in our ultimate top 10, we think we have a good one for you, the top 10 best public schools this year, 2023, according to Forbes magazine. So stay tuned for that as well. By the way, we are sponsored by the best barbershop in Tampa Bay, as far as I know, and it's Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's over in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays. Great haircut, great price. Call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And Arbor Life Tree Service, whether it's tree enhancement, tree planting, tree removal, stump grinding, anything to do with trees, Arbor Life is Tampa Bay's premier tree service company. Call them today for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So, we're going to be talking in a few minutes with Weifang Zong about the G20 summit over in India. It took place the end of last week. In the meantime, Biden said yesterday that the economic challenges that are facing China, which was not at the summit, are making a potential invasion of Taiwan much less likely. Biden said that China's economic growth is slowing due to a combination of a weak global economy and unspecified Chinese government policies. As a result, Chinese leader Xi, quote, has his hands full right now, according to Biden. He says he believes this makes an invasion of Taiwan less likely. Biden said, I don't think this is going to cause China to invade Taiwan. He says, as a matter of fact, with the economy, the opposite is probably true. He doesn't have the same capacity that he had before. Now, Taiwan is that little island. If you ever look on a map next to the country of China, it's just a little speck. But they want to be independent of mainland China, and for all these years, I mean, I remember going back to Nixon and Kennedy arguing about it. It's a democratic, self-governing island that China regard that mainland China regards as a rogue province, despite the fact that the Chinese Communist Party has never maintained a ruling over Taiwan ever since it took control of the mainland, and that was back in 1949. So Biden was taking some questions during his Vietnam visit. He had held a press conference, and he abruptly ended it. This was yesterday, after one of his team members appeared to announce the end of the questions while the president was still talking. It was kind of a strange conference if you watched it. President delivered some remarks about the G20 summit. While he was answering questions, somebody was heard speaking over the president saying, "Thank you, everybody," before ending the press conference. Then the president also said thanks before he started wandering off stage. Apparently it was Karine Jean-Pierre, his press secretary, was the one who said that the press conference was ended. The president took five questions. He had a little thing, and he said, "Okay, I'm supposed to call on this one, and now I got to." He took five questions, and then he concluded by telling everybody that he was going to bed. I don't know. I guess it's okay to say that, isn't it? It's time for me to get some 40 winks. Thanks a hell of a lot for being here. I enjoyed the dinner. However, Biden appeared to linger after that. He tried to tell a story about John Wayne during this conference because he wanted to talk about, you know how he always says you're a no good something or other pony soldier? Apparently it came from a John Wayne movie. He wanted to bring that one up again. That was kind of interesting. He just seems to go his own way, you know? If you leave him to, he starts out okay, and I thought he was doing all right. I was listening to the press conference for a while. But then as the press conference, as his talking continued, he started to lose touch a little bit with what the topic was all about, you know? And his mind sort of wandered off, like yours, Ed.
Yeah.
But that's all right.
Yeah.
That's okay. By the way, Kamala Harris had some fun. Or let's say people had fun with Kamala. She refused to answer when she was asked about limits on abortion during an interview. She was on Face the Nation, apparently, and the moderator asked her about her thoughts on a federal law to codify abortion rights. "What is it that you believe? I mean, what week of pregnancy should abortion access be cut off?" she was asked. So Kamala said, "We need to restore the protection of Roe versus Wade. We're not trying to do something new." So she was interrupted. "Well, what? That was nebulous because it was about viability, which could be anywhere between 20 to 24 weeks. Kamala Harris said, no. Let me be very clear. She said, then the moderator said, "That's what was in the Women's Health Protection Act that the White House also endorsed." So Harris concluded, "Let me be very clear. From day one, the president has been clear. I have been clear. We need to put back the protection that are in Roe versus Wade into law. Since the Supreme Court took it, Congress has the power and the ability to pass legislation to put those protections back in law, and Joe Biden will sign that bill. So that is what we want." Really? I don't think so. They went to the states, and each state now has the right to determine what week abortion must not go from, go forward from.
She said all that, though?
Apparently.
I'm impressed she got that far.
Yeah, actually, Harris's efforts were noticed by some users who questioned why she refused to give a definitive answer. And then they talk about some of the people that are commenting on that. Anyway, Kamala, Joe Biden can't do anything. Roe versus Wade is no longer the law of the land, and it's now in the hands of the states.
So you got one that talks too much and one that doesn't talk enough.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Oh, well, such is life. We're going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to talk about, hopefully, not rambling about, the G20 summit with White Fang Song.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on September the 11th, as we remembered 22 years ago today, that horrific situation with thousands of people dying. And we remember all those and the brave firemen and policemen that rushed in when others were rushing out in those buildings in New York. We're delighted to have Weifeng Zong with us. He is a senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center. We're going to talk a little bit about the G20 summit, which was concluded this past weekend, where leaders from 19 nations plus the European Union were in New Delhi, India. President Biden was there as well. Weifeng, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Thank you, Paul, for having me back.
It's always our pleasure. You know so much about what's going on. And I guess there was some significance to the fact that China was not at the G20 summit. Was that an important absence, in your opinion?
It's important, I think, in the sense that there seemed to be a retreat of Chinese influence in what's now called the Global South because of the declining economic condition of China. So we saw just a couple of weeks ago at the BRICS summit, where the Chinese president did go to. It's a summit with Brazil, Russia, India, and South Africa, together with China, the so-called emerging, it used to be an emerging market coalition, where the Chinese president actually skipped his own speech, and that actually got people, gave you the impression that China is not as powerful or influential in the developing world as it has been in the past, because the economy domestically is really not in a good shape. So I think the absence this time sort of gave the same impression, and leaving the question that, what should the U.S. do, United States, do to the global South if China is sort of falling away because of the constraint.
Indeed. There's been a lot of talk recently about how China has, because of its economic situation, has possibly become weaker to some extent. And even Biden mentioned the fact that because of the economic situation in mainland China, it makes the invasion of Taiwan less likely. Wai-Fang, do you buy into that?
Well, I would buy into the first part that the Chinese economy is not going well. I don't think you could necessarily conclude by saying that it's less likely to invade Taiwan. Oftentimes, when you have troubles at home, the attention usually is diverted overseas to score, you know, political points. And for the Chinese president, taking back Taiwan would really be a huge boost to his authority, because he really doesn't have anything else to show for. And so, I think I would probably conclude with the opposite, that, you know, China might actually be more likely to invade Taiwan.
Yeah.
Now that the domestic problems are piling up.
Yeah, I mean, you get the concept of the wounded bear syndrome. You know, things not going well, so you lash out. You want to show that you're tough.
Exactly.
Yeah. Go ahead.
The Chinese president might actually overcompensate for exactly what Paul, you said, that it's wounded, you know. So
yeah.
That, I should emphasize, there's no good news to anyone, not even to the United States, right? Because a weakening Chinese economy weakens the global economy, per se, just because of its size. Many American companies have business in China, and if China does decide to invade Taiwan, that would be a huge disruption to the global economy even further.
Mm-hmm. Now, have we not been doing some training exercises, we, the United States, in the area, and in some ways, are we doing it to warn China about the concept or the prospects if they decide they're going to go after Taiwan?
The military or intelligence calculation is something hard to gauge from the outside, like you and me are. But I think there's deterrence to some extent. So, for example, exercising freedom of navigation, right, in the South China Sea or in the nearby waters would show U.S. strength in that area. But on the other hand, I think oftentimes those actions are taken by Beijing as provocations too, and that sometimes might backfire. But I think the bottom line is it's very hard to manage expectations on both sides, simply because the United States and China are not talking nearly as much as they used to. And so miscommunications and miscalculations now are much more likely than before.
Mm-hmm. Getting back to the G20 summit itself, was anything accomplished in your opinion?
The what's called the Global South is certainly very prominent. By the time they get together next year, I think in Brazil, it will be G21, right? Because due to the accession of the African Union to the mix, there's the G20 now is very different because developing countries, relatively poorer countries, now have a bigger role in the group, and that will shift the agenda because issues that concern developing countries and poorer countries are very different from issues that concern, say, Europe, right? So the United States and its allies in Europe funding the Ukraine defense of the Russian invasion so much, right? So that's not necessarily something, say, an African country would easily sign on to. And so in terms of a global development, from a global development standpoint, I think developing countries like the African Union might want something quite different from what we usually think of all these big economies like the United States, UK, and Europe.
Indeed. We're talking with Wai-Fang Zhang. He is a senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center and knows a lot about what is going on in the Asian situation. And speaking about that, President Biden then went on to Hanoi in Vietnam before coming back here to the United States. What was that all about, going to Vietnam? Was that to show our interest in maintaining a relationship with that part of the of Southeast Asia?
Absolutely. I think that's actually a very interesting issue, because I think Vietnam is very important to the United States. It's part of the South China Sea, where disputes between Vietnam and China in the waters is actually a very contentious issue. So there's a lot of demand for U.S. engagement there. Potentially strengthening Vietnam could have huge benefits for U.S. national security. And the country itself is also very interesting. It used to be very similar to China, you know, starting from being a communism to gradually opening up to more pro-market policies. I think in that respect, Vietnam is actually even more open than China today. The Communist Party in Vietnam actually faces more competition in elections than, you know, the Communist Party of China, where if you think of President Xi Jinping running for elections, every single time he got 99.9% of the vote. But that's not necessarily the
no.
Compared to Vietnamese party leaders.
Yeah. Here's an interesting question about Vietnam. Do they have anything to fear from China?
From China, yeah. I think a lot of this, like Vietnam and other developing countries, I think the fear, so to speak, is more about not getting the benefit of engaging with the Chinese economy, because the Chinese economy is such a huge market. So if China doesn't like you, it doesn't do business with you, you lose, right? You lose out on the economic benefit. And that sometimes could be very powerful. The Chinese, China has sanctioned, for example, on the Australian economy, simply because Australia wanted a more thorough investigation on the origin of COVID-19. And that has has taken a huge toll on the Australian economy. And the same would be true for Vietnam, too. The question, I think, for Vietnam, for example, is how much could the United States be a replacement, right? If China pulls out, that doesn't deliver the benefits to developing countries like Vietnam, could the United States step in? That's a big question, because the U.S. economy is not that active in, you know, engaging with the global South, and I think that's a problem Washington eventually has to figure out.
Mm-hmm. China's got a high unemployment rate, especially among young people. If I'm not mistaken, about 20% of the younger adults are unemployed there. Am I right about that?
Depending on the age groups you mentioned, I think some statistics pointed at closer to 30, even 40%.
Wow.
It's definitely worse than a lot of even, say, European countries where we used to talk about in the context of youth unemployment, like France, Spain. They have very high youth unemployment rates. But I think China might actually have surpassed them. And the reason that we don't really know for sure is that even the Chinese government has stopped publicizing
right.
the youth unemployment rate numbers. And that actually in itself says a lot about how high the number really is.
Does unemployment cause war in this case? The reason I bring that up is World War II was in the throes of the Depression. And the people of Germany, as an example, were more than willing to listen to a guy that was able to get the economy moving again after all of the trouble they were going through, that guy being Adolf Hitler. And, of course, that led to World War II. And I'm just wondering if high unemployment and trouble like China seems to be undergoing is going to be a major factor in their maybe wanting to grab control of Taiwan, as an example, and do some other things in that area.
I think there's, Paul, what you said, there's a lot of truth to it. What China is losing now among the younger generation primarily is hope in the first place,
mm-hmm.
right, when you have such a high unemployment rate. And kids in China, you know, it used to be that all they can think about when they're growing up is to get into Peking University, Tsinghua University, all the top schools. Now, you know, all these top schools are very hard to get into. And then on the flip side, everybody else ordinary college degree, because over 90% of the kids actually could get into, they take part in the exam, could get into some form of universities in China. But that's not very distinguishing, right? Because when everybody has a college degree, it doesn't really show anything. And that's, I think, part of the reason why there's a sense of losing hope among the younger generation in China. And when you don't have hope, I think fear could sometimes be a replacement. And that's what I believe Paul is what Paul you are pointing to. And I think that actually should raise a lot of concern among people who are watching China, and whether, you know, the fear could actually take place of the hope that they're losing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And finally, going back to the G20 summit, was anything accomplished on behalf of the United States? Was Biden able to strengthen any ties with some of these countries? Do you think we came out of it in a positive way overall?
I don't think the United States came out of it with any significant gains. You might actually point at the fact that the G20 statement actually did not condemn Russia's invasion of Ukraine. That should be considered as a loss to U.S. and European allies, because that's a major issue. And obviously, because India is sort of friendly toward Russia, it didn't want to rock the boat by bringing up the issue. So I think on that count, the United States actually lost some points.
Indeed. Wai Feng Zhang, it's always a pleasure and an education to talk with you about things like that. Thank you so very much. I look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you, Paul, for having me again.
It's always our pleasure. Wai Feng Zhang of the Mercatus Center. All right. Going to take our break. When we come back, now a California scientist, a big global warming climate change advocate, says he actually left out the full truth in a study that he published. We're going to take a look.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Do you have fallen trees or damage from Hurricane Idalia? Call ArborLife Tree Service at 727-330-1999. We are a veteran-owned Florida business with an ISA-certified arborist on site to handle your tree needs. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. We are licensed, insured, and have the manpower to come to your rescue today. No job too big or too small. Call us now at 727-330-1999. That's 727-330-1999. Your trees will thank you.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
We are back on September the 11th, 22 years ago today, of course, the terrible attack on our country, where almost 3,000 people were killed, and we remember that. It became, I think it took the place of Pearl Harbor, quite frankly, for a later generation in terms of the day that everybody would remember. We're delighted to have Angelo Ceresi join us. He is our eye in the northern sky, a New Yorker. And Angelo, you remember, I'm sure you remember 9/11. You probably remember where you were when it occurred.
Yes, I do very much so. I was in the doctor's office trying to have him sign me to go back to work. I'd had my third heart attack.
Wow.
And I was trying to go back, and he wouldn't sign for me to go back. and people come running in the office there stating what had happened. And they said a plane had crashed into one of the buildings in New York, one of the towers. And everybody thought, how could a pilot, you know, a big building like that miss it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what everybody thought in the beginning. And then I guess as I'm driving home, I got the radio. I have the radio on. And they said that it was a country was coming under attack, that the plane, a second plane had crashed into the building. And so America is under attack.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. But the hair on the back of your head went up when you heard that second plane hit the... because then you knew.
Right. Everybody knew. I mean, even the commentators on the radio were saying the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it was kind of a scary situation.
Very much.
I think of myself, can I fit back into my uniform again?
Yeah, exactly. I was driving myself. I was driving from Auburn, Alabama, to Montgomery, Alabama, where I was, where I had a job. It was about an hour drive, and I always had the radio on when I would drive in, you know, listening to different. But for some reason that day, 9/11, I did not have the radio on. I was trying to figure something out in my head, so I didn't have it on. I actually didn't know, and when I got to the office, which was about 10 minutes after 9 Eastern time, and I walked in, and I saw all of these people hovered around a television in one of the small rooms, and I wondered, what's going on here? And that's how I learned about it. It was very shocking, very shocking.
I mean, some of the nurses and office workers were actually crying when they came in and told the doctor, you know. I
mean, my.
I couldn't believe it. I said, holy mackerel, you know, just... You know, and when I got home, I turned on the TV, and you could see what was happening.
Yeah, and of course, you're in Rochester. You were in Rochester, New York, at that time.
Yes.
Got it.
Yeah. I mean, everybody. I mean, this city, I'm pretty sure, came to a standstill when all this was happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to go back to work, you know, because I'd been out after I'd had that third heart attack, and you know, I was trying to get back to go to work, and he wouldn't let me go back, but.
That wouldn't be good for the nerves either, just after hearing about that. I'm not sure I'd want to go back right away either.
They were talking about they found powder in some of the letters and stuff like that, I had people calling me up, you know, in our neighborhood, Angie's, because I worked for the post office, you know. Angie's, our mail able to be able to be handled and everything like that? You know, people were getting scared.
Yeah.
Everything, because there was ricin that they found on some of the letters too before.
Uh-huh.
Right afterwards.
So there was concern that there was that the same group that had brought down the towers, etc., were involved in sending out ricin and mail.
Well, do you remember when they said they found ricin in some of the mail? I think right afterwards.
I don't remember exactly, but I would not be surprised, because a lot of people were worried sick about, you know, a takeover of the country, I guess, right?
Right. I mean, people really panicked, you know?
Yeah.
And they started irradiating the mail, you know?
Did you ever ascribe to some of the theories that it was an inside job?
No. This was planned by Osama bin Laden and his crew.
Mm-hmm.
They had tried to bomb the building before when Clinton was president, and then
right.
You know, then they had the know-how. I mean, this guy, he worked in construction and he knew exactly where to hit the buildings. I'm pretty sure, you know, with the heated metal and everything, how much those planes with the fuel and everything. I mean, it's a bomb hitting the building. You know,
it is,
and the poor people inside. You know, they tried to.
Boy,
especially the one in Pennsylvania, they took that plane down. You know,
we're talking with Angelo, our eye in the sky, from Rochester, New York. You know, you don't have to go very far, though, Angelo, to find somebody that believes that our government was involved in it.
I know.
I've got some friends that, to be very honest with you, there's a couple of them that think.
I think it's over the years, it's kind of gotten less. But my favorite one is that our government at that time would have been George Bush, George W. They had somebody go into the towers beforehand and wire them up so they would implode.
Yeah.
Of course, it couldn't have possibly got that hot. You have to realize, those jets, when they took off, they were full.
Yep.
They were full of fuel.
You're right. And you remember when you could see that one that, because at that point, we saw the second.
The second one.
And you could see that huge fireball.
Blast out the other side.
That huge fireball that occurred when it hit.
I mean, all you have to realize is, like, if you remember back, I mean, if you've seen a lot of stuff like World War II, when they used those bouncing bombs, the British used bouncing bombs to hit a dam in Europe there to
you know,
flood
it's
the
very
area.
Interesting you say that. Did you know I was watching that very newsreel yesterday?
Yeah.
About the bouncing bombs. Go ahead.
Yes. Anyway, they knew exactly where they had to hit that area and that dam area to make it burst, right?
Yes.
And Osama bin Laden and his people, you know, a lot of them were engineers and everything, they knew exactly where to hit that building so that it would collapse and do the most damage. And I mean, conspiracy theory, I don't think so.
Yeah, I remember when they went back to him and showed him what happened, that he, I think Osama's exact words were, "We were hoping for something like this, but we didn't exactly expect it to fall so perfectly," you know?
Yeah, and Osama bin Laden did take credit for it.
Oh, sure he did. There was no bones about it.
He was very proud of it.
Yeah. And if you talk like conspiracy theories and stuff like that, if you remember correctly, if you delve into history, people thought that President Roosevelt put our ships there at Pearl Harbor to entice the Japanese to attack. But you notice the aircraft carriers weren't there either.
Yeah, right? That's right.
I mean, this conspiracy theory happens all the time.
That is so true. You're absolutely right.
I mean, do you think our president would put our people in harm's danger?
No.
You know?
No, I absolutely know that that's not the case.
You know, and these people that come up with these theories, I don't know, just like they think that the Russian collusion was true with Trump, you know?
This morning, and I watch C-SPAN in the mornings because I like to hear these call-ins, and they were, of course, the topic was 9/11. And I am not kidding. I would say more than half of the people that they took calls from thought it was a conspiracy. More than half. And I'm thinking, holy Toledo, there is really a huge number of people. Now, only the nuts might be calling in for it.
I think.
Yeah, but just think, these are the people voting for president of the United States.
Yeah.
I think the only thing that is true about it is that we missed the signs of it. We missed the warning signs.
Right, we did.
Time.
There's no question about
Even
it.
Even in Pearl Harbor, we missed the warning signs.
You know why people think that the United States can never get attacked? We become so docile that we feel that, hey, nobody's going to attack the United States. And even like today, when people say, oh, China's not an adversary, Iran's not an adversary, better believe it, they are.
Yeah.
You know, and we become so docile about it that, we just let these things go.
Yeah. Because, frankly, the last time we had any kind of a major attack was Pearl Harbor.
Right. And actually, the attack...
And that wasn't even on our own soil.
Right. And this time, it was on our own soil. On our own soil.
Yep.
And they used these aircraft as bombs, like Ed said.
Right.
They were fully loaded with fuel.
No, you're right.
We cannot become complacent. You know, I mean, China is an adversary, and so is Iran, and so is Russia. I mean, we have to be on our toes. We cannot be docile anymore. I mean, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. The only thing that changes are the players.
Yes. No, I agree with you. Well, we have to remember that once you let go of being ready, alert, and prepared, like Reagan always said, you know, once you let go of that, they're waiting in the wings.
Well, now we've got
waiting.
The other problem we have right now that we've never had before, all these people that are coming into the country,
right,
that we have no idea who they are and where they're from.
That's part of this defense breakdown of our country.
I mean, look at the 9/11 sleeper cells. I mean, they had to choreograph that thing perfectly with the visas and all that.
And not only that, they've also got our military as being woke. How can you fight a war when you're having conferences with critical race theory, right, this and that, instead of preparing for battle?
I think we're ripe for the plucking.
Well, we are.
We're ripe for the plucking. I worry about that all the time. And that's why it is so important for us to get somebody into the White House that is going to get us back ship shape, that is going to remember that we need to be ready and alert. Speak softly, but carry a big stick.
Big stick, absolutely.
Yeah.
We need that. We need America to stay strong. Because once America diminishes, the rest of the world isn't for a heap of trouble.
You are so right about that. My friend Angelo, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so very much for calling in.
No, you're quite welcome. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right, sir. Have a great week.
You too. Take care.
Okay, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about that scientist that now admits, and he's a climate change advocate, that he left out some important information about climate change.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Do you have fallen trees or damage from Hurricane Idalia? Call ArborLife Tree Service at 727-330-1999. We are a veteran-owned Florida business with an ISA-certified arborist on site to handle your tree needs. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. We are licensed, insured, and have the manpower to come to your rescue today. No job too big or too small. Call us now at 727-330-1999. That's 727-330-1999. Your trees will thank you.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
The 11th. And by the way, where was President Biden? Why isn't he involved in being involved in some of these ceremonies? President Biden is taking heat from some of the 9/11 family members for departing from tradition and becoming the first U.S. president in 22 years to neither spend the day at an attack site nor at the White House. I think he's in Alaska.
We heard him say he was going to bed, so he didn't say how long.
He might be sleeping still. No. Yeah, he might not have woken up yet. In the meantime, a California scientist admits that he left out the full truth about climate change to get a study published in a science journal. Well, at least he's being honest now. How many of them would be honest like that? His name is Patrick Brown. He's a lecturer at Johns Hopkins University and a doctor of earth and climate sciences. And in an online article, he admitted that he distorted the findings of his studies, blaming it mainly on human causes. He said that human causes were what was causing climate change, but he distorted that report to appeal to his editors at Nature and Science magazine. So I guess to get published, this brings up this question. How many of these scientists, to get published in some of these woke magazines, will go out and say things that they don't really honestly have the data for,
Sell books.
To sell books and articles, to get on the lecture circuit, to maintain their jobs in universities, to get paid for magazine articles.
You don't hear about global warming until there's a hurricane. or an earthquake, or a fire.
And do you know that if you count the number of hurricanes and go back in time, that there were more hurricanes in other eras that hit our country than are doing so today?
So
you can't say that climate change is causing more hurricanes are hitting us.
When we have an event or a temperature, and it said we haven't seen this temperature or this kind of a hurricane since 1885. Does that mean in 1885 there was global warming?
There you go. Exactly.
How about the global warming
when all of those lizards were roaming the earth? We can't blame men then. There weren't any human beings on the planet.
Did global warming kill the dinosaurs?
That's another thing. It's actually global cooling that killed the dinosaurs. The dinosaurs were roaming around when the earth was more of a, you know, like Mercury. It was warmer, you know. It's probably global. There was that one point, if you remember, and I do, I think it was back in the 70s, we were all worried about global cooling.
Right.
And that was a big issue in the media.
Mm-hmm.
And that man must have been involved. They were even making movies. I remember there was a movie that was like a horror movie about how the earth was getting colder and everybody was trying to get out of the cities. It was really...
Day After Tomorrow, I think you're talking about.
That might be it, yeah. So, the more things change, the more they remain the same. That's all I'm going to say about that. Before we get to our top 10, the football season has started, Ed. And I was unfortunately watching my beloved Chicago Bears get hammered by the Green Bay Packers again. I thought, since Aaron Rodgers was gone, now my Bears have a shot, you know.
Bears don't look very good.
Oh, my God.
However, what a sports day it was yesterday and this weekend.
It was.
The Rays took 3 out of 4 from Seattle.
Oh. Okay, well, that's a big deal, huh?
Yeah, and of course the Bucks upset the Minnesota Vikings yesterday.
And tell us about that game.
20-17.
They win it. They win their opener in Minnesota.
In Minnesota, yes.
Wow.
They were huge underdogs in that game.
So what do you think about the Tampa Bucks, Bay Buccaneers? Isn't he from Oklahoma?
Who? Yeah.
The Buccaneers quarterback?
Yeah, Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, how do you think he performed?
I think... The first game is always hard because they don't really have preseasons. You know, they don't get much work anymore in the preseason. So the first game is the one where you work the bugs out, the first and second game. So
from what I saw of him, he looked pretty good.
The first couple of series, I think they went, the first five series was 3 and out.
The first couple of, but then he found himself.
Yeah, I think the whole team did, yeah.
It's like they just had to kind of get used to each other. It looked to me... Yep. I was somewhat impressed in the second half of his performance.
The defense was phenomenal. I mean, they were just all over the Minnesota quarterback yesterday. I mean, he just couldn't find a way. He had a few passes here and there, but other than that, he was on his back most of the day.
Speaking about the defense, did you see how the Dallas Cowboys manhandled the New York Giants?
Yeah.
What's the score, 34-0? Or 34-40.
I thought it was 40-0.
40-0?
Yeah.
That was in New York.
I know.
The Giants hosted the opener and they get blown away 40-0.
Tonight will be interesting because the Jets are at home against Buffalo and it will be Aaron Rodgers' debut.
Oh, yeah, that will be interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. I'll watch some of that. Okay, Ed. It is time for our top 10, and I think this is an interesting one. If I can find it again, it's here somewhere. It's the top 10 colleges that are public universities in 2023, according to Forbes magazine. And here it is. So this is a new one, and I want to see if you're going to be able to tell me what you think is the number one best U.S. college to go to. When it comes to an education. So here we go. Number 10. Again, this is Forbes magazine. Number 10 is the University of Texas.
Mm.
Now, I wouldn't have thought they'd be in the top 10, but the University of Texas at Austin, home to more than 40,000 undergrads. It offers more than 150 undergraduate degree programs and hundreds of study abroad programs. All right. Number 9. The University of Illinois. I knew they were a good school. They were founded in 1867, home to more than 30,000 undergrads. It's situated, by the way, in East Central Illinois. It's about 125 miles away from Indianapolis and 140 miles away from Chicago. Number eight, the University of Virginia. By the way, that was founded by Tom Jefferson, our old buddy, in 1819. It's a public university in Charlottesville and doing well. Number seven. The University of Florida.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
They're coming up. It's a public research university. It's located, of course, in Gainesville, Florida. They've got more than 30,000 undergrads that were enrolled. And are still there, I guess.
I know they do a lot of big things in the medical field.
They do. Mm. And they also do, their majors include media production, management and technology, microbiology and cell science, and soil, water, and ecosystem sciences. Mm. Yeah, they got a lot. Very diverse. Number seven. Oh, that was number seven. I apologize. Number six, University of Washington. I visited that campus when I was in Seattle one time. It's a center for problem solving and innovation that stretches across hundreds of acres. Number five, UC Santa Barbara, University of California, Santa Barbara, and the public research university situated on the coast. Number four, Michigan, in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Really?
University of, yeah. Public research university, home to more than 30,000 undergrads as well. Number three, University of California, San Diego. Wow. Another school on the U of C system. Public research university offers more than 100 undergraduate majors. Number two, another California one, University of California, Los Angeles, UCLA.
Wow.
They're dominating. Home to more than 30,000 undergrads as well. A variety of majors, including ancient Near East and Egyptology. That's the one I want to take, that's for sure. All right, Ed. What do you think's the number one? I know you won't know, but you can guess.
I'll break from the norm and go Harvard or something.
Unfortunately, they're not a public university, but that's
okay,
all right.
Okay.
They're as good a guess as any. It's UC Berkeley.
Wow, they're all out in California.
Oh, remember, Berkeley was always the one that the weirdos would go to, right?
Yeah.
UC Berkeley, located in
the... Isn't that the one that Reagan yelled at or something like that? Oh, shut up. When he said UC and they're giving a speech and somebody yelled at him.
Somebody from Berkeley?
Oh, shut up or something
like
that.
He did say, oh, shut up to somebody. Might have been from Berkeley. Best U.S. public college, according to Forbes, offers more than 300 degree programs, including sustainable environmental design, aerospace engineering, and Chicanx Latin studies. Oh, Chicano Latino studies. I guess that's what it is. All right. Thank you so very much. We'll be back Wednesday. Remember, freedom works.
Well, I walk into the room, passing out $100 bills, and it kills and it thrills like the horns on my Silverado grill. And I buy the bar a double round of Crown, and everybody...
WTAN Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City.
FM 102.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Bells tolled at the start of remembrances on this 22nd anniversary of 9/11, marking the deadliest terror attack ever on U.S. soil. Odyssey's Glenn Schock begins team coverage from the World Trade Center site.
Former NYPD Detective Brian McLeod spent 2 months on the pile at Ground Zero, working all hours.